Welcome to Toadstools and Garlic Cloves. I am your host, Dorothy, joined monthly by my co-host, Samantha, and I invite you to join us as we hunt down cryptids, explore the paranormal, and dive into lore from around the globe. So sit back and relax as I lead you on a weekly adventure of this strange and creepy world that we call home. All right, and we are recording. Okay, we're good to go. My computer is behind my other computer that I took notes on, so I'm trying to see. Yeah, okay, we're good. So this is going to be a pretty short one. Right now I'm in the middle of moving and with work schedules and things like that. I just don't have a lot of time to edit and or really look into bigger topics. But when I was on Facebook, Instagram, I ran across a post about the Balron, which looks like Balraven is what it looks like, but it's called Balron. Hopefully I said that right. Which is Danish folklore. Also Scandinavian folklore. But I do believe that even though it encompasses the Nordic Scandinavian folklore, I want to say that the Balron is mostly associated to Denmark. So that is where in the world are we today? We're going with Denmark. I know that Scandinavian folklore encompasses Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Iceland, the Faroe Islands, but we're gonna go with Denmark because that's what I'm going to do. So the Valrain means the raven of the slain, and it dates back to 500 to 700 AD. Now, as you know, ravens are all over the place in folklore and mythology, and they are very intelligent creatures. Now, in Scandinavian mythology, they are connected to the god Oren. I probably said that wrong. I'm sorry. But he is the All-Father. And there's a lot of poetry and ballads and songs about the Valrain. Norse poetry, or in particular, associates ravens with blood and corpses and battlefields, because that's where you find the blood and corpses. Valrain, again, supernatural raven, basically. It appears in traditional Danish folklore. And it originated from the ravens that consumed the dead flesh of the fallen on the battlefields. And then it said something about turning into a knight after eating the heart of a child. I put a question mark next to that because I didn't really understand. I'll get back to that later. One of the websites I was on also mentioned that, you know, this is a half form of a raven human, but also a wolf and human. And I'll get into that later also. But some of the lore that I was able to look up, this one was from the late 1800s, and it explained the whole knight thing. So ravens become the Valrain when they consume the flesh of the fallen chiefs or kings that fell and were forgotten or not buried properly on the battlefield. And when they ate the chief's or king's heart, they then gained human knowledge. Then they would have superhuman powers, they would lead people astray, they would perform malicious acts, so they were not good human birds, I guess. And there's other accounts that basically say they are peaceless souls searching for redemption. They can only fly at night, and they can only free themselves by consuming the blood of a child. So, basically, it's a raven that went on the battlefield, ate the flesh of the wrong person, and turned into a supernatural creature. So I kind of feel bad for those ravens. They're just, like, you know, doing their job. They're feeding themselves. They're are a lot of songs. There's a music artist called the Valrain. There's ballads about the Valrain. Basically a raven that is a human in raven form. I kind of want to talk a little bit about ravens because they are literally all over the place when it comes to myths and lore. Anywhere that has ravens will have a myth or lore attached to it. Native American, Celtic, Welsh, North. Oh, wow. Native American, Celtic, Welsh, North, Greek, just to name a few. Sometimes they represent ill omens, death, loss. They can also represent prophecy and insight. They connect the material world to the world of spirits. In Swedish folklore, they are the ghost of murdered people without Christian burials. In German folklore, they are the damned souls of people. And I never found anything on why the Valor could have been a half-wolf creature, but I do know from previous things that I've looked up, because I really do like wolves and I really do like ravens, that ravens and wolves are very close associates with each other, and they coexist really well, and the ravens are even called wolf birds because they form social attachments with the wolf packs. So it is possible that when the myth of the Valrain came about, that there was also wolves out there scavenging the battlefield. So that could have happened. A little bit more about ravens, though, is that they're the members of the corvid family. Anywhere with forest habitat, they're omnivores and foragers. They're one of the smartest birds out there. They're great problem solvers, and they thrive among humans. They can mimic the calls of other birds, and they're just... Honestly, I really like ravens. I used to... have to walk by a flock of ravens every day when I was in college. And one day there were two in my path, and I was like, excuse me, can I go through? And they looked at me, hopped out of the path, and I said, thank you, and walked through, and they hopped back. And then they, like, caught at me. I felt like I really connected with them, because the next day, the same ones are there. I was, like, walking down the path again. And they're like, ca-ca! They, like, moved out of the path. And, like, did their thing. I don't know. I felt like that I made a connection. I know that they were just doing normal bird stuff. But I find them cool. But, yeah, this myth of the Valrain is pretty straightforward. There wasn't a lot of differences in it, as far as I could find. Again, it's a supernatural raven. It consumes the dead flesh on the battlefield, and they gain human knowledge. They are basically tricksters and peaceless souls searching for redemption. So I don't know if it's the soul of the dead that embodies the raven. I that's how I'm taking it, is that it's the soul of the dead that embodies the raven. So yeah, that's really all I got. Like I said, I was making this really short, sweet, simple, across the board, just to get something out and give it to you, because I don't want to put nothing out. And I thought it was actually just a really cool folklore. So again, where in the world are we today? The Valor, we're going with Denmark, Danish folklore, some of the sites I used, Wiki, Norse Life, aminoapps.com, Pagan and Witches, allaboutbirds.com. Again, you can find me on Instagram at toadstools and garlic cloves. You can also send me an email at toadstoolsandgarliccloves@gmail.com. If you have any ideas you want me to do, if you want to even be on the show as guest host. But yeah. Hope everyone's having a great day. Bye.
Hey everybody, it's your editor. So like Dorothy said, we're in the midst of a move. I'm going to a training. She's moving to another place. Hopefully we're going to get everything back on schedule pretty quickly. But I thought because of this episode being so short, I would include a little thing from last week's episode when Sammy and Dorothy were talking about Nessie versus Champ. So at the very end of that, there's about a 15 or 20 minute little argument they have about wormholes and other stuff that just didn't fit in the episode. So without further ado, I give you what we call the cutting room floor argument.
But I also want to talk about In Search of Aliens because it was my first episode that I watched.
Uh-huh. And this is the aliens guy?
Yeah, it's aliens. Actually, he's a lot smarter than I give him credit for, or that I have given him credit for. I'm actually not as, like, against this guy. Of course, like, there's going to be things that he says, aliens, definitely, or mm-hmm. something, or ancient astronauts, really, that I'm just like, no, that's not true. But his name is Gregorio Suklos, and at first, I thought he was doing a Scottish accent. But he wasn't because he's, like, from Sweden and he just has an accent. And I felt like a dick.
It's okay.
But also, he was the only one that actually found this guy named Steve Feltman who's been living at the lake for 20-plus years. Just searching for Nessie.
Oh, man.
And he has the Guinness Book of World Records on it, basically. Oh. Like, he has the record on living at the lake. And they also did a lot of other stuff. There was a psychologist that went to both. Remember in the beginning, in honorable mentions, I said Loch Muir has a monster also. So what they did is that they put basically a bobbing log in the water at Loch Ness and then did the same thing at this other lake because they were concluding that people come to Loch Ness to see Nessie. So no matter what they see, their brain is saying that's Nessie when really it could be anything else. But their experiment really didn't go that well because everyone that saw it, only like three people were like, yeah, that's Nessie. Everyone else were just like, that's a bobbing log. And it was at both places. Like, yeah. But he also talked about plesiolorelectricity, which I didn't look at. But then there's also that high amounts of quartz. And what I really liked about Gregorio in this episode was that I expected him just to be like, yeah, aliens, everything, aliens. But he was actually very, like, not hypocritical. That's not the word. He was very wary. He wasn't, like, instantly, like, oh, yeah, that's aliens. He's like, well, it could be this or it could be this.
Like, trepidatious.
Oh. Yeah, like, he was actually using, like, kind of almost the scientific method to figure stuff out.
Oh, wow. Like, imagine that.
I know, right? But it was when the mention of quartz happened that he was all like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Because we also, something that I didn't mention is that there are a couple, like, there's a couple physicists, world-renowned physicists that he actually goes to and people go to and ask about the whole Kashmir effect.
Mm-hmm.
So he, of course, said, oh, it's wormholes, but it's ancient astronauts that are down there, and that the thing speeding through the water that people have seen in the past, where, like, you know, the astronauts came in from the past, like, they're using that wormhole, they're coming through, they're making those ripples, that's the fast stuff. And I was like, no. I want my wormholes to be plesiosaurs coming in. Or, I mean, honestly, it could just be, like, a portal opening into another world. And right now we got an alien monster coming up and being like, meow, meow, meow. Hello, goodbye. There we go. Aliens, wormholes, plesiosaurs, transversible wormholes that are temporary.
Dorothy, I do have one question. When you say cashmere, do you mean Casimir?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Because I had heard of, the more you talked about it, I'm like, is it cashmere?
I am probably saying it weird because every single person that I heard say it has had an accent.
Oh, okay.
Like, every single physicist and astrophysicist that has said that word had an accent. So is it Casimir?
Casimir.
Casimir? Like, I've been hearing
it. Say all of the syllables.
Like, Casimir is how I've heard it.
Okay. I've only heard it as Casimir.
Okay, so what? If we make an emphasis on it, the Casimir.
Casimir?
Casimir effect? Casimir. Did you look it up?
It's okay. I didn't say Abenaki correctly the entire time, so I guess it's fine.
It's fine.
But at least it's no Edinburgh.
Oh, yeah. I messed that one up real good. I said it like three different times, three different ways.
Did you say Edinburgh?
Edinburgh?
Did you say Edinburgh?
I thought that's how you're supposed to say it.
No, it's Edinburgh.
Oh, I said Edinburgh.
That's how it's spelled, but it said Edinburgh. Oh.
Yeah, well. Okay, so now I really am done. But
that was beautiful. Anyone... The wormholes was a revelation.
Yes. Yes.
The wormholes were a revelation. English. It's my first language.
But were they? Are they?
I don't know. I feel like wormholes are an easy solution to anything, anywhere, at all times. You just say, oh no, it's just a wormhole.
Yeah, but if you put the actual
I get the Casimir effect in the wormholes and I understand you got there in a, I hesitate to say, scientific way, but it was a scientific way, and like in a researched way.
Yeah.
I just have that whole knee-jerk reaction to anytime anyone mentions wormholes where I'm like, okay, it's a wormhole.
But that's the thing. Like, if someone says, hey, wormhole, I'll say, okay, show me the geological, like, components.
Are there quartz?
Yeah, I'm just, like, saying, show me quartz, which is under
the rocks, man.
Pressure. Yeah, show me the stressed quartz, man. And if they're just like, what? I'll be like, no! Fail! But, I mean, I kind of got more behind it after watching the Tesla files, just because, you know how the ionosphere is full of electromagnetic charge?
Mm-hmm.
Add that to quartz, you're stressing it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like there is definitely something going on.
Yeah. Something, a little something, something.
A little something, something, vibrations, quartz, electromagneticness. But that's actually just going to be a totally different episode when I go over Tesla, the conspiracy theories of his trunks.
Oh
yeah. That will be the next episode.
Be careful, make sure it's not any like propaganda about that Edison put out there. Fucking Edison.
Oh, I have things about Edison in here being
fucking was Edison. A dick.
And like then I watch the files and then I go online and everyone's like, the files are a hoax. They're a hoax. They're not real. They're a hoax. And it's all by Edison stuff. And I'm like, really? Really?
Is that the man you want to back in this one?
Yeah, I'm just like, I'll take Tesla stuff all day long, because when you get an eccentric... Tesla is bae. Huh?
Tesla is bae.
Yes, he is.
We all love Tesla.
Like, this might be a two-parter episode.
He was a hottie. Let's not lie about that.
Did you watch the Tesla Files?
No.
Well, but you should.
There was one, they did a Tesla movie fairly recently that I wanted to watch, like a biopic.
Yeah, so the Tesla Files is like, they go into the,
his files.
I'm going to start recording real quick.
All right, folks, that is all for us this week. Like I said, unfortunately, it's a short episode, but we hope to be back on track very soon. I hope everyone's having a good time out there. I hope everyone's staying safe and healthy, and we'll see you guys whenever we get back on track.